Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. The Seed Christian Fellowship meets on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in Rancho Cucamonga. We would love to have you come and join us. If you can't, you can always join us on our live stream broadcast. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. If you're not a morning person, you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch our messages on YouTube. Actually, I'm going to tell you, I've been doing a series on Sunday mornings in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's on the resurrection. And I'm learning a lot. And I've been reading that chapter for a long time. Join us on Sunday mornings. Our passage today comes from Acts chapter 4, 1 through 22. It's a long reading, so stay with me, and let's listen for God's word. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray that your words would be alive and redemptive. Your words would shape us and mold us and fashion us. Your word is a living word, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, help us to grow in your grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab your Bible, Acts chapter 4, 1 through 22. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there was the resurrection of the dead. You know, I'm going to digress. You know why the Sadducees are called the Sadducees? Well, they're sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And I just last Sunday at church, I talked about the resurrection and how many people don't believe in the resurrection today. There was a poll taken in England just this last year in 2020, and 50% of the people in England, did you hear me? 50% of the people in England don't believe in the resurrection. 58% of the people in America don't believe there's no moral truth. They don't really believe that miracles happen. Well, anyway, that's digressing. Much annoyed, verse 2, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. Verse 3, so they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. They're put in jail for preaching about the resurrection. Wow. I'm just going to pause there and let you think about that. What's going to happen when we preach about the resurrection and people don't believe? So, verse 4, but many of those who heard the word believed. That's my prayer for you. When you hear the word, that you believe in God's word. Not believe in Pastor Dave, believe in God's word. They believed and they were numbered about 5,000. Now, just a few weeks ago, I told you 3,000 were added to the church. Now, Peter and John are preaching and 5,000 were added. Verse 5, the next day their rulers and elders and scribes assembled in Jerusalem. There Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, and John Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family, when they had made the prisoner stand in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of the good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Now, just last week, if you listened to our broadcast, we talked about Peter and John healing this this man who was born lame from birth and healed him. Now they're standing in the temple and getting questioned. They go, how, by what name? And they go, by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom you raised from the dead. Verse 11, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, it has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. Wow. Verse 12, Acts 4, 12. Take a deep breath. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. Let me say it again. I'll say it slow. There is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know where you're listening from. I get email from people in prison. You want freedom? There's salvation in Jesus' name right now. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you're bound up by an addiction. Maybe you're broken in a relationship. Maybe you're just wounded because of this pandemic and frightened and paralyzed. There is salvation in no one else, friends. Our government is not going to save us. No one else is going to save you. There is no salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Ask Jesus into your heart right now. Ask him to change your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. That's Acts 4:12. They're not my words, friends. They're the words of God. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. My goal in life is to finish strong and to be known as a companion of Jesus, to be a man after God's own heart. I don't know what your goal is. I don't know how you want to finish the race, but I can tell you Peter and John, here they are standing before the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the rulers, and they're uneducated. It says they're ordinary men, and they're proclaiming Jesus' name, and they're known as companions of Jesus. What do you want to be known as? What do you want to take home? Verse 14, when they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition, so they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, what will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that the notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in Jesus' name. So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of all the people. For all of them praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing had performed was more than 40 years old. So this man, 40 years, being laid before the gate of Beautiful, is now walking. Reader's Digest tells of two seminary students who decided to go door-to-door sharing their faith. At one house, they walked through a gauntlet of screaming children and barking dogs. A tired mother opened the door. They said, we would like to tell you how to obtain eternal life, they said. She hesitated, then looked around for a moment before she replied, thank you, but no thanks. I don't believe that I could stand eternal life with all the noise. Well, I just want to take a moment to thank all of the mothers and all of the fathers that have been caring for children and blessing your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. That really is your resurrection response, by sharing your love with your children and your children's children. Our passage today comes in the middle of a larger story. Last week, we heard about a part of the story of Peter and John who were coming to the temple to pray. They were coming to worship, and they heal a beggar born crippled from birth. All Peter said to this beggar was, "Gold and silver I have none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." Peter takes the crippled beggar's right hand, and the man stands up and begins to jump and praise the Lord. Well, for those of who are taking notes, today's message is about reflecting on, one, the power of the name, the boldness of the disciples, and the fact that there is no other name. So there's your 3 points. My homiletics professor said 3 points in a poem. I'll give you 3 points. The power of the name, the boldness of the disciples, there is no other name. In reading through the story of the first miracle found in chapter 3 and 4 this past week, one fascinating aspect of the passage seems to jump off the page for me: the use of the word name and the controversy surrounding name, quote-unquote name. The name of Jesus has the power to heal the crippled. This former beggar, whom they all knew and recognized, jumps up praising and proclaiming the name of Jesus. The power of the name frightened the leaders, elders, captain of the temple guard, and the high priest. They were so disturbed that they would not even use Jesus' name when they questioned Peter and John. They said, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Peter's quick to tell them that the name and power surrounding this name they're asking about. He said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. The power of the name. Peter told them that the man was healed by the name of Jesus Christ. Did you hear it? Can you enter into this story? The power comes in the name of Jesus, who was crucified, but God raised from the dead. Finally, Peter tells the rulers of the religious system that salvation comes in the name of Jesus only. Now, that's pretty exclusive in our world today when we want everybody to be included. I'm sorry, I didn't write this. God wrote this, that salvation comes in the name of Jesus only. What a powerful and bold statement. Some of you probably are turning off the radio. Don't. Listen, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which you must be saved. Today, in our pluralistic society, that statement about the power of Jesus' name is greatly contested. We live in a very relativistic culture that tells us truth is relative. Your truth is good for you, and my truth is good for me. The statement that tells us that salvation is found only in one name under heaven, well, that's a very powerful statement. Just as the religious rulers and elders of that day had to deal with that statement, so do we. I would like for you to enter into this story for a minute and experience the boldness of the disciples. That they come from no other name than the name of Jesus. Just imagine coming into some courtroom that your beloved leader had been in weeks earlier. This is the same place where they convicted Jesus of committing crimes he never committed and sentenced him to a cruel death on a cross. The disciples were well aware of this, yet they have the boldness to stand before their accusers and actually turn the tables and question them instead. It's a powerful statement when Luke, the writer of the story, tells us that these men were ordinary and uneducated. Imagine that the name of Jesus can empower unlearned men and women to teach learned men and women. That's really what this is about. The boldness the disciples experienced came from knowing Jesus. Your boldness today will come from knowing Jesus. We too can experience this boldness as we spend time getting to know Jesus. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the power of the name Jesus. So we will all grow in our love and devotion to God as we proclaim his name. In the 1960s, when the 1960s ended, San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury district reverted to a high rent, and many hippies moved down the coast to Santa Cruz. If you're from California, you know what happened. They had children and got married, though in no particular sequence. But these hippies or flower children didn't name their children, well, Melissa or Brad or Dave or Daniel. People in the mountain areas around Santa Cruz grew accustomed to their children flying frisbees with time warp or spring fever, and eventually Moonbeam, Earth, Love, and Precious Promises all ended up in public schools. That's when the kindergarten teachers first met fruit stamp. Every fall, according to tradition, parents bravely applied name tags to their children, kissed them goodbye, and sent them off to school on the bus. So it was for fruit stand. The teachers thought the boy's name was odd, but they tried to make the best of it. "Would you like to play with the blocks, fruit stand?" they offered. And later, "Fruit stand, how about a snack?" He accepted hesitantly. By the end of the day, his name didn't seem much odder than Heather's or Sunray's or Dave. At dismissal time, the teachers led the children out to the bus. "Fruit stand, do you know which one is your bus?" He didn't answer. That wasn't strange. He hadn't answered them all day. Lots of children were shy on that first day of school. It didn't matter. The teachers had instructed the parents to write the names of their children's bus stop on the reverse side of their name tags. The teacher turned over Fruit Stand's name tag and learned right there, neatly printed, was Anthony. His name wasn't Fruit Stand, and all day they called him Fruit Stand. Do you know that the five most popular boys' names, Jacob, Michael, Ethan, Joshua, Daniel, those are the five most popular names. The five most popular girls' names were Emily, Isabel, Isabella, Emma, Ava, and Madison. Did you know that the name Joshua means God is my salvation? The name Jesus comes from the root Jacob, God is my salvation. Remember what Luke tells us in the first book when he writes in verse 26, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, and a virgin engaged to a man whose name Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting that might be. The angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who has said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God.'" On November 9th, 2003, a 19-year-old woman was baptized and gave the following testimony. "I chose this day to love and serve Jesus Christ as Lord, the Messiah, the rest of my life. My name is Humaira Khan Kabir," not her real name. "I became a Christian 5 months ago. When I was 7 years old, I moved to Pakistan. I was injured and I was in a coma. And after 8 months, I came out of the coma. I was in a wheelchair. My eyes were open, but I couldn't move, and I couldn't talk to people at all. At this time in my life, I saw my 18-year-old brother die in front of me. Every Friday, I went to the mosque and slept there because I didn't have any hope from the doctors that I could walk again or talk. One night, I was really upset. I went straight to the picture of Jesus, who is recognized as the prophet in Islam, and started talking to him. 'Why did you keep me alive? Why didn't you just kill me? Why did you keep me alive so I could see my 18-year-old brother dying in front of me? My head was on the floor and I was crying, and suddenly somebody squeezed my shoulder and said, I kept you for something special. I looked back, and it was the same person who was in the picture. I fainted. In the morning I woke up. My grandpa woke me up, and he said, you fell asleep all night on the floor. I looked at him and said, he was here. He was right here. My grandpa said, who? Then he said, oh my gosh, you're talking again. I said, he was right here. Where is he now? My grandpa said, why? This guy, pointing at the picture of Jesus, he told me he kept me for something special. Sweetie, that's not true, because he died a long time ago. Remember, I told you that story. I said, no, I saw what I saw, and I stood up. My grandpa had a hard time believing me, but there was a part of him that wondered, because he saw me talking and walking again. I kept that memory in my heart, just a vision, and no one believed me at all. Everyone kept laughing at me, so that's why I chose to get baptized in the name of Jesus. But in my heart, I'm already baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, in a cellar in Cologne, Germany, after World War II, they found these words written on the wall. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I feel it's not there. I believe in God, even when he is silent. So what? So what is the so what question for us today? Do you believe that Jesus was who he said he was? Did he do the miraculous works of God recorded in the Gospels? Do we accept that what he did as Jesus of Nazareth, he continues to do through the apostles in the early church? Is Jesus ready and willing to do the same today in a new chapter of Acts being written in our time? Are we open to the possibility that this can be an age of miracles if we dare to believe and pray in Jesus' name? What is it in me, in you, in my work, in my school, that has stopped the boldness of prayer in the name of Jesus? Am I really writing the final chapter of the book of Acts? Let us believe even when we cannot see. Let us hope and be filled with holy boldness to be the disciples of Christ, sharing his name and the power of his resurrection with all that we come in contact with. May we be filled with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Let us go out and write chapter 29 of the book of Acts, proclaiming no other name but the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks that you're a God of miracles and that you do miracles each and every day. Help us, Lord, to have eyes to see the little miracles. Help us have the faith to believe for the large miracles. Let us know that there is no other name that salvation can come from. That we come to you and we humble ourselves and we ask, Lord Jesus, come in our hearts. Help us make a brand new start. Be with us all through the day and help us do all things your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, God loves you, and so do I, and the Seed Christian Fellowship would love to have you come and join us on Sunday mornings, or you can join us live online with our live stream, 9 a.m. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and join us. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.